All right, it's time for Living the Good Life, and we welcome every one of you as we get ready to do the last Living the Good Life show for this year. Not the last one, but just the last one for this year. And we're excited to be right here in the studio as we are every Sunday afternoon to bring you the Word of God, the anointed Word of God, and just to enjoy His presence as we talk about all the blessings and all the ways He's moving in our lives. And He is so good. And we just praise God for everything that He's doing. And I've had a great morning. And with me in the studio is one of my cohorts, the famous Dr. Angel Falzoni. How you doing there, Dr. Angel?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Really good. Really good. We had some of our radio team not able to join us today because of trips and families and all kinds of stuff going on. And you so graciously kind of stepped in to help us out, even though you're on the radio team yourself, but it wasn't your regularly scheduled day. But you graciously said, sure, I'll come to the studio and do a show, which is cool.
Oh, I always enjoy being here.
Why do you enjoy doing this?
It is such a blessing. I feel like I get so blessed from doing this show.
Oh, well, I know I do. I mean, it's just a joy. We are 11 and a half years into this ministry on Sunday afternoon right here on TantalkNetwork.com. 11 and a half years. April, we will celebrate our 12th anniversary on the air every Sunday. Crazy that time flies that much fast when you're having this much fun.
Very true. Very true.
We love doing this show. And you and I have a Thursday night show. Do you want to talk about that, Dr. Angel?
Sure. Thursday nights at 6 o'clock on this station is Go Yard. Go Yard is a life coaching show. It's helping you to learn to live life and live it well, hitting those home runs in life. It's topical based. You can call in, text in, and participate as much as you want. And it will really just help you get through those little bumps that life likes to throw at us.
And life does throw some of those at us, does he not? Does it not?
Yes, it does.
And, you know, here we are, the last show of 2017, and, you know, getting ready for a new year. And how does that affect you, Dr. Angel? Talk to me about that.
Wow, New Year's. I love New Year's. First of all, it's a freshness. There's a new beginning. It's a great opportunity to kind of reflect over the last year, reflect on your blessings, and see where you are and where do I want to make my next steps go forward for the next year.
Absolutely. And don't you think a lot of times we get in a rut sometimes, and as the year moves along, and we're just sometimes just get so stuck in, I don't know, maybe bad habits or bad things happening, and we just expect bad things. And there's something about the turn of the year, at least for me, that gives me hope that this new year is not going to have some of the same pitfalls that the old year did, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It is really a freshness of new beginnings. And I think we all need that. You know, just like every day is a freshness of a new beginning. And then
yes,
we have weeks and months and years are a big milestone.
Pretty good that God didn't make us stay up 24/7, right? And not
yes,
have rest. Which goes right along with this new series we're starting today, which we'll talk more about in a few minutes. But, you know, we need rest. People need rest. And I think what happens so often in our busy, busy lives of the 21st century is that so often we don't get much rest. We are just on a treadmill. You know what I mean? It seems like we're just blah, 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 blah. Here we go. Let's start the day. And here we go. We just keep going all day long strong. You know what I mean? And I'm speaking to
yes,
myself and to you right here.
Absolutely. We get stuck in that. And then we're exhausted and we're sick and we're like, how did this happen?
Really? I know. Yes. And, you know, rest is biblical, you know, because in Genesis 1, in that first chapter, it talks about God creating the earth and all the things that he did. And it said on the seventh day, he rested. And so, you know, that's a pretty good segue, not planned. None of this ever is planned, but into this new theme for this new series and this new year. I recently, Dr. Angel, I don't think I've ever told you this, but God spoke to me a few months back and he said, your rest, meaning mine, is important to me, which was kind of interesting because I don't get much rest physically, you know, I work a lot and with real estate, with the ministry, with other jobs I do. It's I don't get a whole lot of physical rest. And I know that that was part of what he was saying, but I think it was more than that. I think it was learning to rest in him, which has everything to do with this new series as we start a new year.
I agree. And you know, and I think sometimes we do. We get on that treadmill of life and we're go, 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 go. And we aren't able to even hear God speaking to us because we're just so busy. We don't stop enough to rest in him.
And we're going to talk about this a lot in this new series because it's with when you're resting that you hear better.
Yes.
Let's pick that up in just a moment. We're going to start with a Chris Tomlin favorite of mine. I absolutely love this song. And it is, let me get the right one queued up here, Sing, Sing, Sing by Chris Tomlin. Love it. Good way to start a new year.
Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens we will. Sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you?
Way to end this year of 2017 and a great way to begin this new year. And, you know, we can't say enough about singing praises to God, can we, Dr. Angel? So important. You were telling me about your praise list on the way to church today that you were playing in your car, right?
Yes, and it happened to have some of the songs we were singing in praise and worship this morning in
church. Yeah, great. What does that do for you when you're singing praises to God like that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it sets an atmosphere of praise. It helps me to not sit and think about the things I might be worried or concerned about, or it just lets me focus on Him.
Right. And, you know, that's what is the most important thing to do. And really, this series is all about learning to do that, don't you think?
Yes.
This series is entitled, I'll tell you now, and it starts today, Rest in Peace. And what's funny about that is that we usually say that when people die.
Yes, we do.
Right? There's a lot, RIP. You see it on all kinds of social media, you know, and it means rest in peace. But the Lord just began to speak to me a few weeks ago about how important it is that we learn to rest in His peace. Okay? And what does that mean? And how do we do it? Because it seems to me, Doctor, that so many people go through life just running from this to that to look for something that'll make them happy, something that will take the stress off of them, or something that will get their mind off of what's really going on in their life. You want to address that?
I agree with you. I think a lot of times we're just kind of keeping ourselves so busy so that we don't have to face the things that might be challenging or difficult.
Yes.
And it's easier to just not think about it and go, go, go. But it's not. It's hurting us more than it's helping us.
Are you sure?
I am very sure.
Well, you're a PhD and a licensed mental health counselor, and you and I do the Thursday night show, Go Yard, on learning how to really live victoriously and with purpose and passion. And I think that goes along with this new series so much, because I do believe that the world is full of people who are just going, basically trying to make it through the next day, you know?
Yes, they are very much, and it's not working for them very well.
And how do you know that as a clinician or as just a person who, you know, how do you know that?
Well, go clinical here. You know, just looking at the rates of anxiety and the rates of depression and the rates of unhappiness in our culture, it's really high.
It is very high, isn't it?
Yes.
And some people will say, might try to say, well, that's not anxiety. I just have a lot of stress.
Oh, yeah, we do cover anxiety up with the word stress. And stress and anxiety aren't the same things.
They are not. And we started that series last week on anxiety. We still haven't thought of a title for it, right?
No, we haven't thought of a title. But the information's good.
But the information is great. And we were talking last Thursday night, and you can catch that show if you missed it. TantalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts. Go to Go Yard. And it's right there. And we were talking about the difference between anxiety and stress. So do you want to kind of amplify on that here on this show today?
Sure. You know, stress is something we feel when there's a stressor, something that's, you know, kind of putting pressure on some of our commodities, maybe our time or our
commodities.
That's interesting. Those are things that are limited that we have.
So
our resources that are limited, like our time is limited, our finances is limited, our energy is limited. And so a stressor comes in when it's kind of pushing against one of those things that we have a limit to. However, when that pressure releases, that's stress. Anxiety is when we're continuing to worry about that, even when that stressor is not present.
Ooh, so anxiety has a lot to do with worry.
It does. It's based in fear.
It's based in fear.
You know, the root of anxiety is definitely fear. And so it's a fear of something bad maybe happening or impending or going to go wrong. And it keeps us from realizing our best potential.
It really does. And there's so many times in life that we have so much coming against us. And this show is all about God's principles, about the Word of God. And while you were saying that, I wasn't planning on going there, but here's where we're going. Let's go to chapter 27 of Psalms 27. And I want to look at verse 7, Psalm 27, 7. And this is written by David in one of my favorite chapters because it was my dad's favorite chapter in the whole Bible. And David says, listen, God, I'm calling at the top of my lungs. Now, I'm reading out the Message Bible. What translation do you have today?
Actually, I have a parallel Bible. So I have King James Amplified, New American Standard, and New International.
Oh, this is good. This is great because I want you to read some of this out of a different translation. All right. So verse 7 and 8 of Psalm 27. I'll read it in the message, and then you pick one you want to read it from. Listen, God, I'm calling at the top of my lungs. Be good to me. Answer me. When my heart whispered, seek God, my whole being replied, I'm seeking him. Don't hide from me now. Verse 9, you've always been right there for me. Don't turn your back on me now. Don't throw me out. Don't abandon me. You've always kept the door open. And, you know, it's so important because David felt like everything was coming in on him. He says, I'm calling at the top of my lungs. Be good to me. Answer me. Read those few verses in the Amplified, if you will, and then maybe the New American Standard or the NIV, whichever you want.
Okay, and the Amplified, it's, Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, have mercy, and be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face, inquire for and require my presence as your vital need.
Oh.
My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, I will seek, inquire for, and require of necessity and the authority of your word.
Whoa.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, cast me not off, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation.
Oh my gosh, that is really good.
Is
was
good.
That the Amplified?
That was the Amplified.
That part there where it says, I require you.
I inquire for and require.
I require what? I require what?
Your presence as my vital
your
need.
Your presence as my vital need. You know what? That couldn't be any better said than the way the Amplified Bible really translates that. And the Amplified Bible just takes that thought and expands it into words that we can understand. And what that's really saying is, God, I just really need you in my life.
Yes.
I mean, that's really the message of this whole series is that he can and will calm us down, teach us how to rest, give us peace, all of this, but it is all dependent on our relationship with him. Talk to me about that.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I love that David wrote the Psalms. And, you know, David had a lot of time with God before he became King David. And, you know, he learned the art of praise and worship and laying on the pastures, watching his little sheep on
sheep.
The side. And
right.
he had that relationship very well developed before he faced all this adversity that he would continually face throughout his, you know, what God called him to do. And yet he had that relationship with God. He knew he needed him and he could call out to him. And he was so gut-wrenching honest with his feelings.
He was, and that's why we love him, and that's why the Messiah, Jesus, came through the line of David. Why? Because he had a heart after God. He had
Absolutely.
A heart after God. And so, you know, we see David having gone through terrible things, but as a young child, he was the eighth of the sons of Jesse. There were eight of them, and David was the youngest. We don't know if there was any girls or not. We just know about the boys. And of these, so he had all these other brothers. And so they had other important jobs to do, quote unquote, important, quote unquote, for their father and for the farm and the ranch or whatever they had. And so David was sent out into the pastures at a very young age, probably 13, 14, or even younger. And he sits out there night after night under the stars. The sheep fall asleep. He is a shepherd out there. I mean, he wrote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. One of the best psalms there is, a just amazing psalm, because David got a handle on the fact that God was really the shepherd.
Yes,
right?
he had that intimate knowledge and relationship of God. He had the living relationship.
He did.
And I love it. He's not a perfect person. He makes lots of mistakes, but he has such a great relationship with God that he brings those to the throne of God time and time again.
And don't you think it was birthed that as a young person?
Oh, absolutely.
This whole relationship with God.
Those seeds were planted over in all those years. You know, and that's funny because as we go through life, sometimes we feel like what we're doing is not important or not really something worthy to be doing. But it could be a time that God's planting those seeds in you that brings that relationship that you will have that strength to get through what your real purpose and calling is through
exactly.
Him.
Exactly. And so often we don't know what, of course, really, usually we don't know what God has in store for us down the road, right? And you got to wonder if David had any idea that he would ever be anything more than a shepherd boy.
Exactly. And then, you know, probably not feeling like it was the most significant thing he could be doing. Being the youngest of eight boys, I am sure he was harassed by older brothers for a long time, you know, just thinking of the human side of him. And, you know, God does not let anything, any of our experiences go to waste. And I think that to me is so amazing.
That's an interesting concept that he doesn't, because so often we feel like we're going through, let's say we're going through a really bad trial and whatever, and we feel like, boy, nothing good's going to come out of this because I am really suffering. And this is a good thing to discuss right here at the end of this year, starting a new year, that the things that we have felt so often are horrible and will never, ever be a benefit to us again, turn out working out for our betterment. Can you want to address that?
Oh, absolutely. Or they turn out to give us a strength or a deeper relationship with mm-hmm. God, or help us to walk with other people through those situations with some, you know, compassion and empathy of understanding. And so there is nothing that we do, nothing we experience that is a waste and God for God. He uses it all.
He does use it all. And we know that God causes all things, Romans 8:28, all things to work together for good to those who love God mm-hmm. and are called according to his purpose. Now, that promise is not for people who are atheist or who say, I don't believe in God or whatever. This promise in Romans 8:28 is, and we know that, and we know it. We know it down on the inside that God causes all things. Now, so for some of you that have had a really hard 2017, and I'm in that category in some areas of my life, it's been a rough year, and I'm looking forward to a new year. But I also know that God has blessed me through the hard times in 2017. And I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago on the radio. A couple people said to me, how could any good come from what you've gone through in a certain area in my life this year? And I said, and I did not amplify on it because they just went on in the conversation, so the door was not open to do that. I said, this suffering that I've been through in this area in my life is actually an upgrade that God has given me. And by that, I have come to know that I have more faith now in the area that I have suffered in. I don't want to go into what this was personally that I've gone through, but maybe the concept will help our listeners, that I have more faith in that area now than I did a year ago right now as I was turning into 2017. I did not have as much faith that God would take care of me in those situations as I do now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
True. And we can only know God to the depth we've experienced that with him, you know?
Right.
So we do need to face, you know, hardships and adversity and difficulties so that we can learn to trust him for each
yes.
of those areas of
yes.
our lives. And it's a
right.
continual learning process. We never arrive at being able to get this fully. We're human. There's always something that pulls us back in some level, but that's what he's refining us and
refining
yes. fire. You know, I love to think about, you know, the precious metals going in and, you know, and all the impurities
yes.
coming out. And that's what each experience we have is doing to us.
And that's what happens when we're in a difficult situation, dear listeners. And maybe you've got some of those that have happened to you in 2017 where you felt like no good can come from this failure or this pain or this emotional thing you've gone through. Maybe you've lost somebody dear to you. Maybe you've been dumped. Maybe you have had something really painful emotionally happen to you. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Whatever the case may be, God will get glory and get good out of it if you will allow him. Talk to me.
He always does, and he says all things. I love that God uses all. There's no exceptions to the word all. It's any and all things, and he does. It may not be what we think it will look like. It may not be on the timetable we would like to see it all come around, but it's his perfect timing. It's when, you know, all those pieces come together, and he always does. He keeps his word. God does not lie.
He does not. And you said to me, we started the service off today at Beacon of Hope with a song that I'm going to play right now that I wasn't planning on playing, and I just looked and realized I brought that CD. So you know what? That's what we're gonna use that song right now. But I just forgot what number it was on here. So okay, all right, okay. Since I'm engineering too, sometimes I forget while I'm talking what's going on. What is the song?
Are you doing All Things Are Possible?
Yeah, I am. And why would we be doing that right now, this moment?
Because I think we really need to take that inside our being, that all things are possible.
Yes.
God turns all things for our good. You know, so we need to get that all. You know, in the human realm, there's not a lot of absolutes, you know.
Right.
We don't get a lot of absolutes. God has absolutes, and I think that's amazing.
Woo, he does, doesn't he? When he says all things are possible, he means it.
You can't use the word but, because all is all. There is no exception.
Jesus himself said in Matthew 19:26, and I brought this out this morning, but I love this verse, Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. What was he talking about there? He was referring back to what the angel said to Mary when the angel Gabriel said, Mary, you're going to have a child by the Holy Spirit. And she goes, but how can this be? How shall this be? And basically the angel said, God's going to do it. And with God, all things are possible, the angel said. And so Jesus quoted this in Matthew 19:26. Woo, here we go.
All things are possible. Come on. Oh.
the God of the impossible. Your praise are always on my lips. Oh, I love that song. And because we did that this morning at church and now we just did it again, it's just down on the end. And you listened to it on the way to church this morning. That's the third time today yes. you've heard that song. What does that speak to you and how does that apply?
Oh, I love it. It gets down inside of you. And, you know, it becomes when we plant those seeds and you start going through something difficult, it's what's rising up. Those seeds you plant start sprouting and those become the thoughts you think of instead of the fear is this going to work out or is this going to be okay? It's okay. All things are possible. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know all things are possible.
You know, you're exactly right, Dr. Angel. And the thing is, I think so often we get caught up by making the mistake of trying to figure out how it's going to work. And yes. and how God's going to bless us or how God is going to change our situation. And we can, and this is one thing I think I've learned this year in 2017 more than ever. And I've been walking with the Lord since I was four. I mean, seriously, I was 4 years old when I first felt God's speaking to me about, you know, doing something for him. I had no idea what that meant, but I felt the tug of God on my heart at age four. So I've lived it all my life in the ministry, and I can tell you that you're still learning. I don't care how old you are still learning the principles of God's word. You're still learning how to apply it on a daily basis. As long as you're on this earth, you're still learning.
Oh, absolutely agree with you. There is no, we've arrived. We arrive when we get to heaven. That's
right.
Arriving. You know, we're constantly being refined and learning and growing through him.
Oh, we are. And this whole concept of all things are possible, what that whole concept that the angel Gabriel ministered to Mary, you know, we just had Christmas last Sunday, you know, Monday, but just the same, here we are in a time of year where we're starting a new year. And in a lot of times, it's like a fresh start, and we all feel it, right? And this year is going to be different. This year is going to be better. This year I'm going to not do this. This year I'm going to quit this. This year I'm going to start doing this. And we have those wonderful resolutions, which sometimes happen and sometimes don't. But the whole thing is it starts with our mindset, does it not? And our heart spiritually, emotionally, mentally, with our mindset. And they need to be in sync. So talk to me about that, Angel.
That, yes, they do. And so when we're feeding praise and worship in, that's what we're starting to get into sync. We're starting to get the word of God. Most praise and worship songs are scriptured, put to music and songs, and they're, you know, all of them are his principles of who he is and what he can do and who I am in him. And that's what we need to get into us. And it's a great way to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go to the last two verses of Psalm 27. And I want you to read it in the Amplified here in a minute. In the Message, 13 and 14 says this of Psalm 27. David said, I'm sure now I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. And in the NIV, you can read that. But he's talking about, I'm confident of this. I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, which is now. So read it in a couple translations, if you will. Maybe NIV and then Amplified.
Okay. The NIV is, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Good stuff. Woo, what's the Amplified say there?
What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord.
Wait for, hope for, and expect the Lord. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that's where a lot of us get bogged down. A lot of us know that God can move in our situation. I've preached this for years. God can heal. A lot of us believe God can. He did. He does. But very few of us believe that God will. That God will. It's one thing that he can. It's another thing that he will. And one of the reasons we get bogged down, so write this down somewhere and it'll help you in this new year. One of the reasons we get bogged down with God will do it is because we discount the goodness of God in our lives. we instead so often have a martyr, if you will, what do you want to call that? Martyr attitude, a martyr mindset, where we're a victim and we think, well, I've seen God bless this one and that one, but you know what? I've screwed up a lot in my life, or you know, I've just never been that close to God. Why would He want to be good to me? You know, talk to us,
Angel.
You know,
I think it's hard for us to, we don't make God personal for us. You know, it's almost
Oh, that's a great point.
You know, we know the stories. We know what God has done. You know, if you go to church for any length of time, you hear, you know, the Noah's and the Ark and all the great stories that happened and what God has done. But it's hard for us to accept it personally that
it
God is doing and will be doing for me.
And David says right here, I am still confident of this. In other words, he gained confidence of this sometime in his life. I'm still confident. It's not, I am beginning to think I might be confident someday of this important concept. No, David says, I am still confident of this. I will see. I will see. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's right now. So he says, because I'm so confident of that, I'm going to wait for the Lord. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to take heart. And I'm going to wait because I know it's happening.
You know, and that's really hard for us to do is that whole waiting. I am still confident means he's believed in something that he hasn't fully seen come through yet.
Exactly.
And he's choosing to still stay confident, to still trust, to still have faith and what God said he's going to do.
You know, while you were saying that, that just reminded me of an illustration, a metaphor. Let's call it a metaphor. Between my first and second year of college, the guy I was dating, which I eventually married, his name was Alan, father of my children now. Alan and I got engaged on my birthday. Between our freshman and sophomore year of college. And the goal was to get married the next August. Now, the engagement period turned out to be a little rockier than I would have hoped. But still, during that year, I had an expectation that this guy who asked me to marry him and who put a diamond on my hand was going to come through and marry me, and he did. And even though we had things to work out, which we did and whatever, but still that expectation was there. I was waiting for the day that we had decided we were going to get married about a year later. So there was a waiting time there, but I expected that he would follow through with, you know, and that I'm not saying that all engagements always work out. They don't. But that's a concept here because so often when we are given a promise, like I promise to marry you and here's a ring to seal it, okay? So often when it comes to God, we just think he's got that promise for everybody. It's not personal. And we got to go back to that point you made. It's huge. We've got to get these things down on the inside of us personally. As we start a new year.
I think that's where a lot of us are really lacking with growing in God is we do not take it and say, this is for me.
Yeah.
He can do this for me.
Can do this for me. And he wants to do this for me.
Absolutely.
Because, and talk to me as a therapist here, because a lot of people feel like they're not worthy.
They do. You're right. And then they start, you know, making the list of all the deeds and things that they've done wrong. And somehow, somewhere, I think that people have blown up the figures in the Bible as being superhuman, not making mistakes, doing everything right and perfect before God. And that is not true. They all made a lot of mistakes. They were very human, and God used them anyway.
And I really think that's one reason we see such imperfection. You know, the writers of the Bible, including David himself, could have left out the fact that he worried a lot, that he was anxious, you know, that King Saul tried to kill David 21 times over a period of a few years.
Yeah, that would make anyone anxious.
Wouldn't that make you anxious that you wonder if you're going to if you're going to make it, you know, if you're going to live? Let's go to Psalm 3 and let's see what David said. In Psalm 3, David's own son is trying to kill him and take over the throne. And his son was Absalom. And he was doing his best to get everybody that was around David and was loyal to him. Absalom was trying to get them all to turn against David so that he could take over the throne. And in Psalm 3:1, God, look, enemies past counting, enemies sprouting like mushrooms. I love that, it says in the Message Bible. Mobs of them are all around me, roaring their mockery. Ha ha, no help for him from God. What are those first two verses saying? Whatever translation you want to read out of, since you have four right in front of you. I'll let you pick.
Lord, how they are increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help for him. And God, pause and calmly think of that.
Pause and calmly think of that. What translation was that?
That was Amplified.
Ooh, that's good. Pause and calmly think about that. Wow.
And think about, let's just bring that down to human. David's son. Like betrayal, like that's a child trying to ruin him and kill him, take his life literally. That's huge.
That's one of the worst betrayals there is.
Absolutely.
That family member or a spouse, and in this case, your son, turning on you and trying to kill you and take the throne from you. Whoa. And verse 3 of Psalm 3, but you, God, shield me on all sides. But I love in the Message, it starts out, but. Is that in your translations too?
The NIV starts out with but, and so does the Amplified.
Well, read the Amplified, verses 3 and 4.
But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. With my voice I cry out to the Lord, and he hears and answers me out of his holy hill. Praise and calmly think of that.
Praise and calmly think of that. Wow. And verse 5 and 6, I stretch myself out, I sleep. Well, you know, it's very hard to sleep when you're all bent out of shape and worried about whether or not you're going to be alive in the morning, right?
Yeah, I would think that would be very hard to sleep.
Yeah. Then I'm up again, rested, tall and steady, fearless before the enemy mobs coming at me from all sides. This, we're in Psalm 3 if you're just joining us right now and living the good life. Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6. Go ahead, Angel.
I lay down and sleep. I waken again, for the Lord sustains me.
Uh-huh.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me.
Whoa. That's a determination. I am not going to be afraid. And that's a key part of this new series, Rest in Peace. Because when we can't rest and sleep well if we think we're about to be murdered, you know? I mean, how much wouldn't you be just sitting up with your sword drawn?
Absolutely.
Waiting on somebody to come through the window or door or whatever.
Jumpy. Not only that, but all these people against him. Not only are people trying to take his life, but all these people who are against him.
Yes.
I know
some of his
really
best
hard.
Friends turned on him. Yes.
That's hard as a human to know people don't accept you or they don't like you or they're talking bad about you. Even if it's just a couple people, tens of thousands, that's a lot of people.
That's a whole lot of people. And, you know, relating that to our audience today, because we always want to do that. There are so many times in our lives where we feel like everybody's coming against us. That, as my mother used to say, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll go eat worms, which was just a little stupid thing she said as we were kids. But it was a feeling that a lot of people get from time to time when they're going through tremendous stress and tremendous disapproval from some right around them that are trying to betray them. It is a totally lonely, awful, sad, scary place to be, Angel.
Absolutely it is. And, you know, here's what happens is so often is we start believing the voices of what everyone else is saying about us.
Exactly.
Instead of knowing who I am and who my God is and what my purpose is he's called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
We lose sight and we start believing all the lies that we hear coming around us. And had David have done that, like, what would have happened? What would have been, you know?
Exactly.
He kept firm on who he was, who his God was, and what his God promised him.
And this is, I guess, a very, very important point right here for this new series, that we must focus on the goodness of God in the midst of whatever we're going through and not give in to the fear that tries to come our way. I can't even emphasize that enough. Talk to me about that, Angel.
No, it's super important because it's so easy for us to get distracted. Even if we have one or two people in our lives that are, you know, negative against something maybe we feel God is calling us to do or taking a step out in faith, and we get negativity, we just start flowing with the negativity instead of saying, wait a minute, I am not going to lose focus on God and his goodness and what he has called me to do.
So true. You know, so many TV shows, movies, whatever, there's a hero that bucks the system or bucks the prevailing thought of we can't take this city, right? There's no way we can take this city, or there's no way we can win this skirmish or this battle, or, you know, right? And yes. And there's usually a hero that steps up. You know, in this new year, we all need to be that hero.
We need to be that hero for ourselves,
for our lives, and say, no, devil, no, people's voices around me, no, angry, anxiety thoughts that wake me up in the middle of the night, no way, I'm not succumbing to all that.
Absolutely. Because when we start following the negativity in the masses, we become a mess. It's a good way of saying we're anxious, fear-bound, sad, depressed. All that starts overtaking us when we lose sight on God and we put our vision on what people are saying.
That's exactly right. And I think it's so cool that David reminded himself in Psalm 27, 13 and 14 that we just read a minute ago, I would have despaired unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Well, how easy would it have been to despair with all that was going on?
Right. I would have despaired. And what that's saying is, even though he had thoughts and feelings like us, David, he did not let it take him down, because he says in verse 5 of Psalm 3, I stretch myself out, I sleep. Anxious, deeply worried, and fearful people have a hard time sleeping.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Listen to, Lord, I need you. Boy, don't we ever. So applies right now. Let the song bless you.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. The grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
God, how I need you.
Oh, I love that song. Woo, Lord, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. You know what that's saying is, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have right standing. That's what righteousness means, right standing with God. Our defense is just that we have right standing with God because Jesus died on the cross and took our sins, our sicknesses in his body on the cross. And so that's my defense. When the enemy comes, wait a minute. Oh, no, I'm not perfect. No, I don't have it all together. But you know what? Jesus died for me.
Absolutely. And there's nothing we can do to be perfect or whatever. It is all about accepting that Christ died for me, for all my shortcomings and you know, all the you know, all the sins that the devil likes to remind you of in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. And
boy, doesn't he?
No. He covered it.
He covered it. So, you know, and that's kind of a, now that we're talking about anxiety and panic and having a hard time sleeping, I think this series is really going to help people. The series we're doing on Thursday night with the counseling, with the with that kind of concept, and also spiritually here, because in this new year, why start out the year full of anxiety and fear and panic and allow your nights to become sleepless nights? Why not turn over a leaf tonight into this fresh new year?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the biggest things that can help us to let those things go that keep us up all night is putting the word of God into us,
that's
truth.
It.
Because when the devil can remind you, when you don't know the truth, it's easy to fall into the lies because you're not sure. But when you know the truth, you have your defenses hem. Nope, it's covered. God
it's
forgave
covered.
That.
That's
We're
right.
Good.
And you know, so often, well, David wrote most of the Psalms. And one of them, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, it's 176 verses. And some of the greatest verses in the Bible are found right there where David says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I never got to that this morning in the sermon, but, you know, that's what God wants to be for us, a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. That's what we need him to be for us. And so when we are not taking in the word of God, when we're not taking in his truth, it's what's lighting our path,
right?
What's guiding our steps, the voices we hear on the outside,
that's right,
the things we might think are what we should be doing, instead of letting the one who knows the beginning from the end guide our steps to where we should be going.
Exactly. You know, this morning I woke up early praying for our day, for our service, and for today's show. And I was all of a sudden I started to see a picture of the children of Israel walking around the same mountain over and over again for 40 years. And remember when the disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And he says in that prayer that he taught them, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, give us this day our daily bread." Well, Jesus himself, one of the I am statements in the book of John is, "I am the bread of life." Where would the children of Israel been if they had not had manna, fresh manna, every single day that fell from heaven for them? And on Saturday, they had enough. Well, actually, it was Friday because the Sabbath was Saturday. They had enough for 2 days worth, so they wouldn't have to go out and work to gather it up on the Sabbath. And we have this amazing word of God right here. And so often we don't take the time to get daily bread.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. And you know, the word of God, it is, I like the use, you know, the visual of it's food for
it's
our
food.
Life.
It's
you
food.
Know, would you go a week without a meal?
You wouldn't.
We're not going to be healthy if we do that.
Right.
And, you know, we can't do that. You know, some people, the only word of God they get is when they show up in church on Sunday.
That's exactly
if they go
right.
every
if
week.
They go.
We can't live. That doesn't sustain us.
And, you know, for this new year, there is nothing more important. There's nothing. I mean, we all set goals to lose weight, me included. We all set goals to go to the gym, me included. We all set goals of I'm going to get more rest and I'm going to get my priorities more in line, me included. But the most important goal for a new year is time spent in the Word of God and in the presence of Almighty God, Dr. Angel.
It absolutely is. And, you know, and there's so many ways that we can get our daily bread, you know, picking up your Word.
Yes.
There's great devotionals that have, you
absolutely
know, topical things laid out for every day. You can get the Bible on audio and listening to it on your drive to work, which that's how I listened to the whole Bible last year, was just driving because I got the audio Bible.
Wow.
And every year I'm like, okay, what, you know, some years I've picked devotional, some years, you know, but that's important to me.
Wow. That is so important. We're going to talk more about that in our second hour. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. And this is Beacon of Hope Ministries from Clearwater, Florida. I don't remember saying that earlier. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with me is my amazing, wonderful friend and ministry partner, Dr. Angel Falzone. And we have the Thursday night Go Yard show where she's Dr. Angel and I'm my other name, Mama Mac. And Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. right here on this station. Why are we doing that show?
We just really want to help people learn to live life well.
Right. Instead of striking out all the time. So our topics have been, now we're just starting a new series on anxiety, which is going to dovetail perfectly into the series we're doing on Sundays. But it's so important that we learn to behave better, handle life's situations better.
And have tools to get through the stresses.
Mm-hmm. So give them a couple examples of shows we've done lately or series.
Well, we've talked about parenting. We've talked about divorce, surviving domestic violence. We've talked about communication and relationship satisfaction, depression. We really hit a lot of topics, and we hit them in the nitty gritty. We are not afraid to dive into that topic and bring out the details, the real life of it.
We really do. I mean, some of the things we tackle are pretty difficult.
Yes.
I mean, they really are. But we're in our fourth year on that show. So if you go here to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcast, go to Go Yard, you can pick up a lot of our shows. And we also have a website, goyard2014.org. That's an O-R.